ஹரே கிருஷ்ணன். ஓம் அப்யானதி நிரந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானாஞ்சனா ஷலாகயா சுக்ஷூருன்மிலிதாங்கேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ. ஸ்ரீ சைதன்ய மனோபிஷ்டம் ஸ்தாபிதம் யேன பூதலே ஸ்வயம் ரூப கதம் மைஹம் ததாதி ஸ்வம் வதாந்திகம். வந்தேஹம் ஸ்ரீ குரும் ஸ்ரீயுத பதகமலம் ஸ்ரீகுரும் வைஷ்ணவான்ஷ ஸ்ரீரூபம் சாத்ரஜாதம் சஹகணம் ரகுநாதான்விதம் த்வம் சஜீவம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனசஹிதம் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ண பதான் சஹகண லலிதா ஸ்ரீ விசாகான்விதம் ச. ஹே கிருஷ்ண கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதி கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த்ய ராதா காந்த்ய நமஸ்துதே. தப்த காஞ்சன கௌரங்கீ ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி விஷபானு சுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரி பிரியே. வன்ஷா கல்பதருப்யஶ்ச கிருபா சிந்துப்யைவச பதிதானாம் பாவனேப்யோ வைஷ்ணவேப்யோ நமோ நமஃ. ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத வரதார் ஸ்ரீராஷதி கௌர பக்தவிருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா
ஹரே ஹரே
கிருஷ்ணா. ஹாப்பி டு பி ஹியர். So nice to see all of you. It's a short visit. I just came only for 2 days, today and tomorrow. Day after tomorrow I'll be leaving. It's a short visit mainly because it's an unscheduled visit. I was not supposed to come. All of a sudden I decided to come. And now, on my way, I'm just stopping. On my way out, I'm just stopping for 2 days. Last few days, about 10 days, I stayed in Durban. It was very wonderful. To be in South Africa is very wonderful. Because you all are so wonderful. South Africa is a very special country. It's, of course, naturally it's very, nature here is very beautiful. But to us that doesn't really make so much of a difference. It is the people that make the difference. People here are very nice, receptive. The special Indian community is very, naturally very receptive to Krishna consciousness. And another thing is that the Indian community here is educated, progressive minded. That makes a big difference. When I think of the South African Indians, I feel as if it's the best combination of the both worlds. They're the best of the East and they're the best of the West. Best of the East because they have retained their Indian culture, or they have their natural natural appreciation and natural inclination towards their culture, own culture, Indian culture, Vedic culture. And at the same time, to South Africa, being in South Africa, they have been. South Africa is not really East. South Africa is actually West. South Africa is more European than African. And so that way they have a very beautiful blending. But I've been noticing that recently you Indian youth were getting carried away, but Krishna consciousness is giving them the natural impetus to hold on to their Vedic heritage. And the Africans in South Africa are also very, very nice, because they're nice people. Africans, I'm sure you know better than me, they're simple people, they're good people, although they have been exploited for so many years, but still they are not revengeful. That's a wonderful sign, very good sign. Actually, the rest of the world was very concerned what would happen to South Africa after the independence, because in many other African countries, when they got their independence, the result of it was not very, very pleasing. Rather, often ended up in a very, very violent outcome. But that didn't happen to South Africa. Of course, the credit goes to Nelson Mandela. Obviously, he was a very, very great leader. Although he had been to say the least, mistreated, maltreated, manhandled many times, and obviously been imprisoned for so many years. But he did not really become revengeful. Rather, he showed his nobility and greatness by being kind and understanding and forgiving. That's why he has been recognized as a very wonderful leader. He has been acclaimed all over the world for his wonderful qualities. And we are seeing that South Africa is doing so well after the independence. Everything is prospering. Of course, in the material nature, you never find a perfect situation. And obviously here also, things are not perfect, but they're nice. And I've noticed also that after independence, after the apartheid era, the Europeans, the South African whites also have become very open and receptive. So this is a wonderful country with so many wonderful possibilities. And obviously this country, even for Krishna consciousness, has a great future. because South Africa has everything. South Africa has all kinds of people. In South Africa you have blacks, you have whites, you have Indians, you have Chinese, you have... So it's a small, it's a kind of a miniature world. The world is, the whole world is actually in South Africa. And it'll be wonderful if we can demonstrate that Krishna consciousness works. Krishna consciousness is for everyone, irrespective of their caste, creed and pigmentation of skin. Krishna consciousness is for everyone. And Krishna consciousness is the solution to all the problems of the world. And actually the whole world is looking at South Africa today because it's the youngest nation. And in this nation, if we can demonstrate the wonderful application or the wonderful result of Krishna consciousness, then the world will recognize. If we can unify everyone here under the banner of Krishna consciousness. We are seeing in ISKCON we have Europeans, Americans, Africans, Indians, Chinese, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Muslims. They all have become unified and perfectly performing in wonderful harmony. So if it works in ISKCON, it naturally will work if we can properly apply to any society. So Krishna consciousness, at least we have seen in ISKCON that how it's possible, how practical it is, how it works, how we can unify everybody and solve everyone's problem. All kinds of problems. A certain principle produces certain results when applied in certain field. Then if we increase the field of application, won't it produce the same result? So it's only a matter of applying Krishna consciousness. And it requires preaching. Application is preaching. Through preaching we apply. And when we effectively preach, and when we effectively apply or inspire people to accept Krishna consciousness and apply it in their lives, then their lives change. They transcend their bodily platform and come to the pure spiritual. Therefore, we have to preach. We have to remember that preaching is our mission. Why did Srila Prabhupada create ISKCON? With what principle Srila Prabhupada create ISKCON? What is the first principle that Srila Prabhupada had behind the creation of ISKCON? Preaching, what is ISKCON's principle? Preaching is the essence. Preaching is the essence. The purpose of ISKCON is to preach Krishna consciousness. Of course, we have to practice, because unless we practice it ourselves, we cannot preach. Therefore, we have to practice Krishna consciousness. But practicing Krishna consciousness, that is, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, reading Sri Prabhupada's books and rendering service through the temples, that is important, but that is 50% of what you need to do. And what is the other 50%? The other 50% is to preach. If we preach without practicing, then it's hypocrisy. But if we practice but don't preach, then it's laziness, complacence. So we shouldn't become complacent, we shouldn't become lazy, we should go out and preach. Jai Shri Shri Gaurinitai Ki, Jai Shri Shri Nitai Gaurinitai Ki, Jai Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki, Jai Shri Shri Yashoda Damodar Ki, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki. When Prabhupada came to Africa, when Prabhupada was in Nairobi, the devotees made arrangement for the local important Indians to come and meet Sri Prabhupada. Prabhupada naturally was happy to meet them, but after they left, do you know what Prabhupada told the devotees? Prabhupada told the devotees, did I come to Africa to meet the Indians? Prabhupada asked, where are the Africans? And the devotees went out the next day and got the Africans. Now, consider, if Prabhupada was here in this room, if Prabhupada was here now, what would Prabhupada say? Won't Prabhupada say, after 30 years or 32 years of being here, why there are so few Africans here? Wouldn't Prabhupada say that? It's nice that Indians are coming. We want to include everybody. We want everybody to come. But when Indians come to Krishna consciousness, we have to understand that it is they came without our preaching. They didn't join because of our preaching. They came because they're Indians. But preaching will need to get the white Africans and Africans to come, we have to go out and make our endeavor to bring them here. That's why this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is. Please take these points, please consider these points seriously and consider what needs to be done. When should consider what Srila Prabhupada did. When Srila Prabhupada was here, in 10 years' time Prabhupada spread this movement all over the world. But if we consider after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance in last 29 years, what is our achievement? Let's be frank, let's be honest with ourselves. Of course, After Prabhupada's disappearance, things were not easy. There had been many, many difficulties. And it was natural. Srila Prabhupada himself told that after an Acharya leaves the planet, there is bound to be crisis. An Acharya like Srila Prabhupada left the planet, and how can we expect that there won't be any crisis? Rather, these crises actually makes it clear what a great Acharya Srila Prabhupada was, or is, Prabhupada is. So there had been difficulties, there had been crises. And it's also very, very wonderful, it's very remarkable that in spite of all these problems, ISKCON is still there. And not only ISKCON is there as a united body, as a united institution, but ISKCON is going strong. With the passing of time, ISKCON is becoming strong. But as I mentioned earlier, we should not become complacent. Yes, ISKCON is still alive. ISKCON did not fall apart after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. ISKCON is still an united body of devotees all over throughout the world. Many individuals may have left, many individuals may even started some other institutions or joined some other spiritual groups and so forth. But ISKCON is still there. And if, since ISKCON survived 29 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that is a clear indication that ISKCON is here to stay. ISKCON is here to stay. Since ISKCON didn't fall apart in the last 29 years, also since ISKCON did not fall apart in love, 15 years after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that itself was an indication that ISKCON is here to stay. After Prabhupada's disappearance, there had been many, many major and devastating crises, but ISKCON has been able to withstand that onslaught. And with that, ISKCON has become stronger. The crisis came and ISKCON has been able to overcome this crisis. And as a result of that, ISKCON became stronger and stronger. So today ISKCON actually is standing on a very, very firm ground. Very strong foundation. And but on our part, now we have to consider what are we going to do. As I said, taking care of our sadhana is important and we must be very, very diligent about it. But that alone is not enough. Our own spiritual life is not enough. There is something more than that, something beyond that, and that is we have to preach. And it is not that we have to do something extraordinary. We have to just preach according to our ability. In this respect, Prabhupada gave a very beautiful example. Prabhupada said, the sky is vast, but a bird flies according to its own ability. A sparrow flies in the courtyard. Some other birds fly from one place to another. There are some birds that fly from one continent to another. And there are some other birds that fly from one planet to another. So similarly, there are different, there will be different types of creatures according to their capacity, according to their ability. If we are sparrows, let's just preach like a sparrow. At least we can preach to people around our neighborhood. And there are preachers who will go from one country to another country. And there will be preachers who will go from one continent to another continent. And there will be preachers who will go from one planet to another planet. But we must preach. And as I say, the sign or effectivity of our preaching will be in how much we have been able to influence those who will not otherwise come to our temple. India is coming, that's wonderful. But now we have to make it a point to preach to the Africans and Europeans. Should honor Africa. South African Indians are also African. But if we make any such discrimination, the point is that those who wouldn't otherwise come, we have to get them to come. Now, how to bring them here? Let us figure it out. And it's not that we have to start off with a huge plan. We can start off with a baby step. We can start off with a simple program like in the year, 2006 is almost Jai Shri Shri Gauri Dai Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. But even we have about 3 months still left, 2.5 November, December, at least 2 months is left. What if we make it a point, like a program, like in within this 2 months, by the end of 2006, everyone makes a resolution that he is going to make one African or European gentleman or lady take to Krishna consciousness. Will it be difficult? We have 2 months. And we know, I'm sure, we know plenty of Africans and Europeans here. I mean, Nandakumar Prabhu, how many do you know? How many Africans are you going to? Many, yeah. Will it be difficult to make one? So not the corporate way to do it. Then we can just follow his footsteps. So at least we can make an effort. And so this is how it's going to happen. It's a matter of preaching. If we preach, people will accept. You can just make them understand. And it's easy actually. Practically everyone believes in God. I think practically everyone believes in God. And if you ask, do you believe in God? And if you get an affirmative answer, then you can ask, then who is he? Do you know who he is? And if his answer is negative, then we can provide him with the information. You know, there is so much information about God. And these informations are not some Hindu information. It's spiritual. God himself is speaking about himself. Jesus Christ spoke about God, Muhammad spoke about God. But Jesus himself admitted, I have much more to say, but you are not ready. Now here's the information. So in this way we can try to generate some sort of curiosity and appreciation. And that is how we can actually make people interested, especially the intelligent class of people. And about preaching, one thing I can assure you, that if you find a receptive person, a person who is willing to hear, if you get a person who is willing to hear, and then you can convince him about Krishna consciousness. Because we have the perfect understanding. And not only perfect understanding, more than that, we have the perfect information. The perfect information. What can be more authentic than God's statements about himself? When God speaks about himself, what can be more authoritative and authentic? Now isn't that what Bhagavad Gita is? God is speaking. Krishna is saying, I'm this, I'm that. You are like this. This is your nature. This is the material nature life, and beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual reality, and you have come from the spiritual sky. Now all these informations are so interesting. It's only a matter of presenting them in a proper way. Just consider yourselves. Did you ever think of joining Hare Krishna movement? Just try to consider the first time you saw a devotee, how did you feel? When you saw a devotee for the first time, did you think that you are going to become like him? Tribhuvan? When you saw a devotee first time, how did you feel?
Shy.
And did you think that he was your role model?
I saw a white Hare Krishna devotee dressed in saffron, dhoti, was doing a party. So for me it was quite a revolution.
Okay.
Something beyond my conception.
I see. And then right away you thought of joining?
Eventually, yeah.
Not eventually, right. Right. But then why did you become a devotee? Okay. Who gave you the book? So here you are. A devotee went to preach to you. Get out of books and inspire you. Fine. Go ahead and take some prasad and give it to them. I mean, prasad is actually a powerful tool for preaching. Sure. So, books and prasad. So when you consider, I can tell you for myself, not the first time, but I mean, I went back to India from Europe to teach the spiritual life. And at that time, I thought that as soon as I go back to India, I'll find my guru and he will take me to the spiritual path. But when I went back to India, it was such a disappointment because when I saw these so-called sadhus, I was completely disgusted with them. I mean, with all due respect. I didn't even go home. I landed in Delhi And from Delhi I went straight to Rishikesh, the first Hyderabad temple in Rishikesh. And because at that time I thought that the sadhus are there, the holy men are in those places. But how did I find, see those holy men? They are smoking ganja and charash, hashish and marijuana. And they get some free food because in those places there is a lot of free distribution of prasad. And they are not at all, I mean, what is because spiritual, I mean, my impression was that they were not even philosophically inclined. They're just, I mean, to me it seemed like my hippie friends in the West were much better off. And although I knew about Hare Krishna movement, Krishna consciousness movement, although ISKCON temple was near my, not far from my house in Calcutta, and many times I went by ISKCON temple, but it never occurred to me that this is the place where I'm destined to find my spiritual life. Yes, then of course, Prabhupada's book, The Act of Devotion. And that also was an accidental thing. I asked for Bhagavad, when I went to the temple, I asked for Bhagavad Gita. But they didn't have a Bhagavad Gita at that time. So I said, give me any book that you have. And he gave me The Nectar of Devotion. And from the very first page it occurred to me that this is what I was looking for. So this is what Krishna consciousness is. It's just a matter of becoming properly exposed to it. Preaching actually means you giving a proper exposure, giving them the right understanding. And it'll happen, it'll work. It doesn't matter who one is, from which background one is coming. Well, with some people it won't be that easy. But with many others it will be quite easy. And also another important thing is we simply have to go out and meet. Or we can say, we have to go out and preach. But Krishna will send the devotees. It is not that by our preaching they will become devotees. Those who preach, I'm sure you have seen, you have noticed that people that you have invested so much time and seen that they are just ready and tomorrow they are going to step in, they were disappointed. Whereas somebody who you never even thought that you even touch Krishna consciousness with a barge pole, one fine morning you see that he shaved up and became a devotee. So who will become a devotee is very, very difficult to say. Who will become a devotee? How one will become a devotee? We simply have to make an endeavor. Krishna will send. Personally, I feel if I could become a devotee, everyone can become a devotee. And individually, I'm sure everyone can consider it that it actually transformed us so wonderfully. Didn't Krishna consciousness make us a better person? Didn't it improve our lives? Now, if it improves our lives individually, isn't this going to improve everyone's else's life as well? When one becomes a Krishna conscious, when one becomes a devotee, he becomes such a wonderful person. Like many criminals actually became devotees. And when you hear that he's coming from a criminal background, it's a surprise completely. How could he ever have been a criminal? Because now he has become so wonderful, so soft, so caring, so tender, so tolerant. So, Krishna consciousness, ultimately what it means, we all are spirit souls. And Krishna consciousness actually takes us to a spiritual element. Then we are not what our body appears to be. Then we become completely different. We become spiritual. We are not to be identified with the body anymore. This body is a product of the subtle body. But Krishna consciousness is beyond the subtle body. It spiritualizes us. So let's recognize the value of this Krishna consciousness movement and let's try to spread it all over. And let's create, or let's at least help create the kind of world that everybody wants to live in. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes?
And when you first started
going
and went to
India,
was it English or was it
English? Actually, there was no nectar of devotion in other language at that time. In Bengali, I translated it. At that time, it was 76. Very few books were translated into any Indian language. Or anyway, and besides that, I would have been more comfortable in English language. Any other question? Nishinanda, when he was leading me to the class, he mentioned that I was speaking about Damodar, pastime of Krishna. And I'm sorry that I started off with a different note and went on in a complete tangent. And tomorrow is Diwali, so we can discuss about, we'll try to discuss about that. Today I just spoke about practical things. That reminds me, actually I thought of mentioning him today. Let me see if he's not here. I just, before coming to the temple, I was introduced to a boy called Nishio. And when I was talking to him, he had a nice question. So I thought of sharing that question with you and discuss about the answer. His question was, why we are living? I thought it was a nice question. What do you all think? Why are you living? Why live? To gain heaven? Or I was born out of a mass of cells and molecules assembled by accident? Anyway, that was not my answer. I pointed out that there are two aspects to this question. One is the individual aspect, and the other is the absolute aspect. The individual aspect is, let's consider why we are living. What do we actually want? What do we want? What does everybody want? Yes. Everybody wants to enjoy. The bottom line is, happiness means we want to enjoy. We are living to enjoy. So that is the individual point of view, or from individual perspective. We are living to enjoy. But now if you consider, we have been trying to enjoy, but didn't we really enjoy ever? Up till now? That's what Prabhupada pointed out during our one of our first meeting. Prabhupada told me, see, for so many lifetimes you've been trying to enjoy, and you can see that. Still not happy. So offer this life to Krishna. And see what happens. Just offer this life to Krishna. And see what happens. And if nothing happens, then what's the loss? It's just one life out of so many. So we want to enjoy, but we cannot enjoy. Now, why we cannot enjoy, to get that answer, we have to come across the right person. And when you come across the right person, like Srila Prabhupada, what does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada says that the parts, fulfillment of the part's existence lies in its connection to the whole. Like this finger is a part of my body. Now can this finger by itself enjoy? Like say the finger sees some nice prasad and the finger tries to finger. But if when the finger puts the food in his mouth, in the mouth, and it goes to the stomach, then the whole body feels. The whole body feels the effect of nourishment and satisfaction. And then the finger also becomes, as a part of the body, the finger also becomes happy, isn't it? So, our real enjoyment is actually synonymous to the whole's enjoyment. Therefore, when you come across the right person, what does he say? He tells us that if you really want to enjoy, then provide for the enjoyment of the whole. And that providing for the enjoyment of the whole is called service. Now who is in that context, who is that whole? It's Krishna. The Supreme Personality. So now we want to enjoy. When we try to enjoy ourselves, we cannot enjoy. So if we really want to enjoy, what should we do? We should cater to the enjoyment, cater for the enjoyment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when He enjoys, then as His parts and parcels, we also enjoy. And that enjoyment is dependent upon our connection to Him. And that connection is established through love, and that love is manifested on service. Or love is not manifested, that love is expressed through service. So what is the purpose of our living? To have a real enjoyment? Right? Or to be engaged in devotional service to Krishna, because that gives us the supreme joy. That will provide us with the supreme enjoyment. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can have a little kirtan before you end.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare,
Thank you.